أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين We discussed verse number 17 last session and we said that there are two parables here about the munafiqun or about different types of munafiqun. One parable was in verse 17 that Allah mentioned مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ Their parable is like someone who lights a fire to give light to the surrounding and moves in the light, and as soon as it's lit up, then Allah takes the light away. And this is the example of those who believed initially, but they were again duped into disbelief by people who were telling them, no, you shouldn't follow this faith, you are better off without it. And so Allah took the light from them, وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبْصَرُونَ and left them in darkness again. So they moved into the light and then the light was taken away from them because of the temptations of the heart and then they were left in darkness again. This is the example of those who believed initially and then left the faith. Now, Allah describes them in the following verse, in verse number 18, summun bukmun umyun fahum la yarji'un. They are deaf, dumb, and blind, and therefore they cannot come back. They do not return. They do not return from guidance, misguidance to guidance. And even if they return, they would go back. Now this sentence, statement, summun bukmun umyun, deaf and dumb and blind, has been used in the Quran in many different places. Sometimes it's about the hereafter, and sometimes it's about this world. People can be blind, deaf and dumb in this world, can be deaf and dumb and blind in the next world too. Usually, when we come to this summun bukmun umyun, the exegetes have said that it is mainly in Akhirah, and we have many verses, that people are raised in the hereafter while they are deaf and dumb and blind. And we have this verse in Surah Isra, which says that وَنَحْشُرُهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَىٰ وُجُوهِهِمْ بُكْمًا وَصُمًّا وَأُمْيًا We will raise them on their faces on the Day of Judgment while they are deaf, dumb, and blind. Now, I'll mention what on their faces mean. However, this blindness and deafness and dumbness, which happens in the hereafter, is a result of that quality in this world. وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى Whoever is blind here is blind there. Therefore, this summun bukmun umyun doesn't refer to physical blindness, physical deafness, or physical dumbness. They are deaf in their hearing the instructions and guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They hear the sentences, but they don't hear the meaning of the sentences. They see things here in this world, but they don't see the meaning of those things. So if someone is like this in this world, he's going to be the same in the next world. You may say, after we are raised, we see such tremendous signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it would remove all blindness and deafness from us. And of course, dumbness, I mentioned what dumbness means. However, it's not the case. The more these things come, it adds to the blindness and it adds to the deafness unless someone opens their heart. If we do not open the heart, these things would not go away. So they are deaf in the sense that whatever the Prophet tells them, they do not hear it. They hear actually a different thing. They hear what their heart tempts them to hear. It's just like a sort of a machine or an apparatus that anything you put into it, it turns it into something else. And eventually a product which is the product of that apparatus would come out, that system. They are like this now. Their hearts have become like this. Whatever you put in them, they turn it into a different thing. And therefore, they are some in the sense that they cannot hear the ayat which are recited to them. They are bukm, dumb. They cannot say anything which is related to Allah. They don't have the dhikr of Allah on their tongues. They cannot remember God by their tongues. This is the meaning of they are dumb. Not that they cannot speak. They can speak, but as we have in Dua Kumail, waj'al lisani bidhikrika lahija, make my tongue to flow with your remembrance. But some tongues cannot do that. So they are bukm in that sense. And blind, of course, because they see the environment, but they don't see the ayat in it. They don't see the signs. Now, one very interesting thing that we have here from Qushayri. I have talked about Qushayri before, the mystic exeget. He says that, what's the meaning of summun bukmun umyun? He says that summun anissema'i bilhaq. They cannot hear haq. They hear many things, but when haq comes, haq turns into battle for them. So they cannot hear it. Bukmun anennutqi bilhaq. They cannot speak the truth. They cannot speak what is haq. وَأُمْيُنْ أَنْ مُطَالَعَةِ الْخَلْقِ بِالْحَقِ. They are blind because they cannot study and examine the creation by haq. In this way, they are summun bukmun umyun. Now, the Quran says, if you are like this in this world, you will be like that in the next world. After when you go to Barzakh, for example, and after you are resurrected after Barzakh, it's the same thing. You cannot see the signs of Allah there. You see, of course, the glory is to Allah and everything, but you cannot, first of all, confess it by your tongue. Your heart doesn't allow it to do it. You cannot confess it by your tongue, so you are book, and you cannot hear what the angels tell you and try to instruct you and guide you towards Allah. You cannot hear it. You hear a different thing. You hate it. And of course, you are blind to all those magnificent signs of Allah that you will see. And that's why in Surah Isra, it says, وَنَحْشُرُهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَىٰ وُجُوهِهِمْ سُمَّنْ وَبُكْمَنْ وَأُمْيَةً. Or umyan wa bukman wa summa. Umyan wa bukman wa summa. It's the other way around. Here it says summun bukman umyun. It says on that day umyan wa bukman wa summa, because that blindness appears very brilliantly, because the signs of Allah are so brilliant, so shining there, that this blindness should come first here. They don't see it. Now, what does it mean, ala wujuhim, on their faces? Well, of course, some people take this physically, that they are raised while they walk on their faces. They cannot walk on their feet, they walk on their faces. But there's no point thinking that it happens like that. Ala wujuhim, because their faces, face is actually the point of attention. When we want to have attention to something, we turn our face to that direction. Their direction is always towards this world. Is towards what is physical, what is down, not what is spiritual and up. So they never can have the upward direction. And this is what a couple of exegetes actually have mentioned, that because of that, Allah says their faces are down towards the opposite direction, to always turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because in metaphorical sense, we regard Allah to be in a higher, in terms of direction, in a higher position, and the world in a lower position. It uses that metaphor. Of course, Allah doesn't have any direction. We cannot point to any direction, whether up or down, that where Allah is. However, what is important is the metaphor which is used here, that they are raised on their faces, meaning that their faces are always pointing towards the opposite direction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are raised like that. Not that Allah wants them to be like that. No. They have made themselves to be like this. And therefore, نَحْشُرُهُمْ عَلَىٰ وُجُوهِهِمْ, upside down, actually. Everything should be in a right position there. All directions should be towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their direction is in the opposite direction. So, نَحْشُرُهُمْ عَلَىٰ وُجُوهِهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ سُمَّنْ وَبُكْمَنْ وَأُمْيَا. Okay, this was the example for those who believed and then abandoned their faith. مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ. Now, the second example, or the second parable given in verse number 19, أَوْ كَسَيِّبٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فِيهِ ظُلُمَاتٌ وَرَعْدٌ وَبَارِقٌ يَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ مِنَ الصَّوَائِقِ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ وَاللَّهُ مُحِيطٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. Or the other parable that I give for hypocrites is that like a rainstorm coming from the sky, wherein is darkness, thunder, and lightning, they put their fingers in their ears due to the thunderous cold, thunderous clap, apprehensive on death, and Allah besieges the faithless. And the continuation is that يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ يَخْتَفُ أَبْصَارَهُمْ, the lightning almost snatches away their sight, كُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْ فِيهِ, whenever it lights the way for them, they walk in it, وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا, and whenever the darkness falls upon them, they just stand still. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَذَهَبَ بِسَمْعِهِمْ وَعَبْصَارِهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And if Allah wished, He would have taken away their hearing and their sight, and Allah is, of course, able to do everything. So, this is the example of those who actually did not believe at all, but they pretended to be faithful. This is their situation in a community where everyone is Muslim. Sayyiban minas sama, rainstorm coming. For them, the revelation is like a rainstorm, because this revelation was continuously coming to the Prophet, peace be upon him. The guidance was come, something which benefits the earth. However, what they see in this rain, in this sort of torrential rain coming all through, the only thing they see are darkness, because when we have this type of rain, there's darkness, there's thunderstorm, shocking sounds coming from the thunders. So what their benefits from this rain, this storm, is only the terrifying things which are in it. So in this sayyibin min as-sama, which is coming, there is darkness for them. This is what they see. The only thing they see from this revelation, which is coming from the Prophet, peace be upon him, is darkness. Why darkness? Because they think this Prophet is always talking about hereafter, nothing about this world. You have to turn towards God, leave all your attachment to this world. This is darkness for them. For them, it is darkness. Of course, for those who believe, it's light. But for those who disbelieve, it's darkness. They do not understand about these things. It's just like what I said before, and this is actually I have seen in certain authentic books about the status of people who are in the hell. If they come out of the hell, they will be in utter darkness. They cannot see anything. They start to choke, actually, because they are not used to that environment. That's why they cannot go to paradise. The paradise is not built for that sort of personality. And therefore, they They only can live in hell, not outside the hell. These people, they cannot live in light. They cannot have the light of faith. They cannot endure it. So what they see is only darkness there. And also thunders coming. Why? Because they say we believe. They say we are believers. Then Prophet commands them, you have to go to jihad, you have to pray, you have to fast, you have to give zakat. All these are like thunderstorms coming, isn't it? So they are always terrified by these things because they don't believe initially, but they want to say that we believe, so they are coming. أَوْ كَسَيِّبٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فِيهِ ظُلُمَاتٌ وَرَعْدٌ وَبَرْ. Now, they cannot hear, they don't like to hear these things. It's just like someone who, from the rain, the only thing that they experience from the rain is the terrifying things which happen simultaneously with rain. يَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ مِنَ الصَّوَائِقِ. These thunders that they come, someone which is in these thunders and fearful situation, they put their fingers in their ears so that they do not hear. They think that it kills them, and they don't want to hear the life-giving verses of the Quran coming from the Prophet. يَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ مِنَ الصَّوَائِقِ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ وَاللَّهُ مُحِيطٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. But they don't know that Allah is actually besieging them. They are in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever Allah wants, He can take their lives. But of course, the sunnah of Allah is that they have to continue until they finish their trials in this life. Okay, يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ يَخْطَفُ أَبْصَارَهُمْ. Now, this light which is coming, of course, the lightning which is coming simultaneous with rain. These are the sort of revelations which are coming, enlightening. It is so enlightening that it may snatch the eyes, so shining. However, it's only sometimes lights up for them something and they follow, they become happy. كُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْفِي. For example, okay, come and we want to distribute the booties of the war that you joined in that battle with us. Oh, they become very happy. Oh, yeah, it's good, we have booties of war now. But when other things come, which they do not like, وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا. So this revelation which is coming to the Prophet, for them, sometimes it makes them happy, they just rush towards it, and sometimes they are in utter darkness, they don't understand. So they just stand still, they don't move. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَذَّهَبَ بِسَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ. Of course, this ability of seeing, this ability of hearing, that they are very much apprehensive of losing it, is all given by Allah. If Allah wished, it would have taken them, of course, away. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Now, after these three categories, this is the end of the three categories. So this is the verse number 20. As we said, verse number 20 ends with describing three categories of people. If you remember, we had the category of muttaqin, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. We had description of muttaqin. Then we had description of the kuffar. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ. Now we have the description. Then we had the description of the munafiqun. Now, after saying these three things, there is one verse as a conclusion. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ. O people, from whichever category you are, now I want to address you. Not يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, not يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, not يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُنَافِقُونَ. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ. O people. يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. O people, worship your Lord who created you and those who were before you so that you may be God-weary. Now, how do we explain this verse? It depends how we actually connect the parts of the sentence to each other. First of all, Ya Yohannas is a general call for everyone. You know, in the Quran, we have calls for Ya Ayyuhal Mu'minun, which is when you have actually come in the fold of the faith, then Allah commands you to certain things. Ya Ayyuhal Mu'minun, you perform salat, for example, do fasting, go to Hajj. This is for those who believe. Those who do not believe certainly don't do this. Then we have a more general address calling people to something which rationally and in their fitra they can understand. When he says, Ya Ayyuhan Nas, we don't have any injunction there, for example, any Islamic sort of law coming after it, because it's talking to people universally. Ya Ayyuhan Nas, worship your Lord who created you. This is everyone knows. Rab is someone who looks after you, who provides for you. Alladhi khalaqakum, the one who created you. Now, this is actually addressing the fitra of every human being. You can understand someone has created you. This is, if you think, if you reflect, if you don't want just to whitewash the evidence, as people usually do, they just whitewash the evidence that, no, we have just come about by evolution or something like that. This is whitewashing the evidence, okay? Everyone, by reflection, can know that there is a creator for them. Someone has made us. It is impossible that we have become like this without a maker. Now, this is alladhi khalaq. And someone is providing for us. Someone is caring for us, looking after us. This is, of course, the Rab. So the address, as I said, this is not to believers. This is to everyone who has a heart, who has a mind. Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum. This is very, very nice. Two aspects are mentioned here. Creation, provision. You are created, you are provided for, and this is someone who is, there is someone there who has done this and is doing this, and you have to worship him. Now, why we worship him? Why should we worship him? This is, of course, the other part of this address. A person who has no faith, no religion, may say, okay, someone has made me, someone has created me, and someone is providing for me. If we reflect deeply, the sun is there, the moon is there, the earth is giving everything. Sometimes we think that we are providing for ourselves because we work, we have a job, we get salaries. No, of course, this is the way we distribute these things. However, if, for example, the sun was not there, if the earth didn't have this distance from the sun, if it could not provide us with crops, so it's all someone who's providing these things for us. So in deep reflection, we can understand. Someone has created us, someone is providing for us. Now, why should we worship him then? Someone has created us, someone has is providing for us, but the verses, you have to worship him. Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum. Of course, those who were before you, because one may think that, well, we have come out by our fathers. We were just in a procreative process, have come about like that. No, he has created the ones before you. Why should we worship him? La'allakum tattaqoon. Now, this la'allakum tattaqoon, so that you may be God-wary, depending where we actually connect it to the previous verses, may give us different meaning. If we say, Ya ayyuhan nasu ubudu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum la'allakum tattaqoon. This la'allakum tattaqoon, if it goes back to khalaqakum, though the one who created you so that you become God-wary. So it gives the purpose of creation. Just like وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجَنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I have not created jinn and it's but to worship me. He created you so that you worship him. This is in the same way. And taqwa is actually the outcome of worship. لعلكم تتقون. He created you so that you create in this world. You create a bond between yourself and him. And this is the essence of worship, isn't it? When you worship Allah, you create a bond in addition to the bond of creation, the bond of provision, a heartfelt bond between you and Allah. And that is your ladder which takes you up. Allah has ladders, min Allah al ma'arij, by which we can somehow elevate ourselves towards him. It is only by this bond of worship that we can move up. He created you so that you move up towards him. This is the meaning of worship. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ means I just created jinn and ins to come up towards me. And this is the reason of the creation, the philosophy behind that creation. So, أُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ أَلَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. Why did he create you? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Maybe you go up to him. And لَعَلَّ usually this is, they call these the حروف or أفعال الترجي, that hopefully, something that we hope for, but when it comes from Allah or from a high position, it doesn't mean hope or uncertainty, that you will do that if you, of course, follow what we tell you, you will come up. Now, this is if we refer لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ to خَلَقَكُمْ. Now, what would be the meaning if we say يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. If we refer it to أُعْبُدُوا, it means that you worship God so that you find taqwa. By worship, you will find taqwa. What is taqwa? That sense of God awareness. It is by worship that you become aware of him, that he enters your life. Without worship, we may believe in him, but he doesn't enter our lives. And our lives would not be aware of him. By worship, we become aware of him. And we actually bring him, invite him to our lives. And again, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجَنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ may have this meaning, that I have created you so that you become my guests, or I become your guests, so that you come close to me, you bring me in your lives, and then by that you are elevated, because when we bring God to our lives, we are elevated towards him. So if we say لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ is referring to أُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, it means that worship so that you become aware of your Lord, you invite your Lord to your life, he becomes present in your life. And this is like what we have in verse about fasting. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Fasting is written on you as it was written on people before you. Maybe you become God wary or aware of God. And by these things, by these practices, God comes to our life. We become aware of him. So worship is a very, very important part of faith and our life. If there is a religion, if there is a faith without worship, that's useless, because this bond between God and us would not be created. Therefore, just to sum up, this verse, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ is a general address to everyone, every human being, which addresses that fitra of human being, not that part which has believed in Islam or any religion. If you worship God who created you and provides for you, then you actually invite God in your life and you become aware of him. Now, one very interesting thing I want to mention here, there is in tafsir of Imam, probably Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam, when he was asked about this, the meaning of this verse, he said that laha wajhan, it has two aspects. One aspect, أحدهما خلقكم وخلق الذين من قبلكم لتتقوا. Just as I said, the first meaning. When we لعلكم تتقون, we refer to خلقكم. So it becomes like وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. I have not created jinn and ins but to worship me. والوجه الآخر, the other aspect or the other meaning is أعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم أعبدوه لعلكم تتقون. Worship him, maybe you become aware of him, God weary. Now, here, the interesting thing that I want to mention here, didn't Imam know the exact meaning of this verse, that to which one it refers, this لعلكم تتقون, whether it refers to خلقكم or refers to أعبدو, to which one, didn't he know it? Now, Allama Tawatabai Rahmatullah Alayhi mentions that this is a very deep lesson to us, that Quran may give us different meanings, and both or all these meanings may be valid, depending how we think about it. I mean, both these meanings are quite valid. And in one sentence, we can actually conclude two meanings which are quite valid and quite useful. Both of these meanings are quite valid and useful. And Imam is giving us a lesson that, yes, you can actually find different meanings from a verse of the Quran. Now, there is one thing that I would like to mention, that I leave it for our next session, not next week, because again, next week I'm not in town, inshallah, the following week. And that is how worship creates that bond between God and between human being, and why it is so important. I mean, I have come across some people, they say, we believe in God. Yes, he's very good, he's very kind, he's very generous. But why should we worship him? Why should always he refer us to him? Now, next session, inshallah, what I will start to talk about is how this bond between man and God is created by the very fitrah that Allah has put in us. How is this bond is created? Only by worship, only by remembrance of God. Inshallah, we leave that for next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Thank you, Anjali Sheikh. So we have now 15-20 minutes to further the discussion. Any brothers, sisters want to take up the mic? Any brother, sister? Yep.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam.
Thank you for every week such a enlightening lectures. The sentence we discussed about summun, bukmun, umum, formula, jeun, I thought, what is the purpose of barzakh, which I am not clear. I thought in the barzakh, we are being purified and go as a pure soul when we go to heaven. So my concept of, sorry, I don't know much about clear.
Yes,
about
inshallah, of course, we hope that we are purified and go. But that's for kuffar, those who do not believe in God at all in this world. In barzakh, they are deaf and blind too. Deaf and blind, the same thing they were deaf and blind here, you know, not physically, but we die the way we live. As I mentioned this hadith before, kama ta'ishuna tamutun wa kama tamutuna tub'athun. We die the way we live. So if we have lived enlightened with the light of faith, we will be enlightened in barzakh, and then purification comes and we move higher, and we will be resurrected with enlightened light of faith. If we die without faith, then we will be without faith there too. And therefore, for those who have faith in this world, barzakh has that mechanism of purifying and moving people, familiarizing them with the life of akhirah, which is quite different. You know, in the hadith we have that for those who are not purely good, but they are good, when they die, of course they don't go to paradise in barzakh, but a window from the paradise opens to their hearts, and they see those things, they become familiar with it, they wish for it, you see, and that's how we are initiated into a life which is very different from this life. But for those who are disbelievers, a window from hell will open to initialize them with that life after resurrection. So yes, inshallah, it will be purification for us. But for certain people, it's not.
Thank you. Any brothers? Anybody? Sisters? Yep.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
You mentioned the three categories. So one is a clear cut, the unbelievers and the hypocrites. Mm-hmm. The next one is very pure and pious.
Mm-hmm.
How does one recognize that they are not in the middle and oscillating sometimes into hypocrisy? What are the signs?
Well, hypocrisy, you know, sometimes we talk about hypocrisy in this very clear-cut way, and that is when you declare faith and you don't have faith. That's hypocrisy. But there is a sort of hidden hypocrisy, like hidden shirk, for example, that we say, okay, we are dedicated to Allah, but certain things are bigger for us. This is hidden shirk, but this is not the shirk that Allah would not forgive, of course. There are hidden types of hypocrisy in all of us. That, for example, we say we believe in certain things, but when it comes to action, we do not act in that way. We do not behave in that way. That is hidden hypocrisy. But again, this is not the hypocrisy that Allah has warned that they will be in the lowest level of hell. How can we realize whether we have hidden hypocrisy? It's very easy. Very easy in the sense that when trials come, in those trials we can test ourselves whether we really believe in God, whether we really have submitted to Him or no. I mean, that submission was only superficial. When it comes to hard tests, then we stop there. وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا. When things go dark, we just stand there, we cannot move. However, as I said, this hypocrisy is not the hypocrisy which Allah is going to punish for. This is impurity that should be purified gradually in us, either in this world or before, inshallah, we go to paradise. Okay. I take it granted that we go to paradise anyhow, inshallah.
Yeah, thanks, brother. The bottom one. Yeah.
Why you have a better cup?
Assalamu alaikum. I'm going slightly off tangent here. The English translation of the Quran mentions or has mentioned on numerous occasions, which tends to be like in the plural when Allah refers to Himself. So we sent upon them calamities, or we sent upon them bounty. So in the plural, we, whereas we've been taught about the oneness of Allah. Why is that? Why is Allah, or why does Allah refer to Himself as we?
Well, the translation is actually corresponding to the Arabic. This is what we call majestic we, majestic plural, so to speak. That's when someone who's majestic, who's very high, speaks of himself. He doesn't say I, he says we. نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الذِّكْرِ إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرِ. We have sent down this dhikr. So when Allah talks about Himself, or actually alludes to Himself in that majestic form, He always says we. But when He wants to show His closeness to us, He says, I. وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي. When my servants ask from you about me, فَإِنِّي, I am close, فَإِنِّي قَرِيب. أُجِيبُ, I respond to the prayers. So it would be very interesting when you read the Quran, you compare these. When Allah uses I, when He uses we. We means that He's majestic, He's away from, quite aloof from the creation and such things. But when He says I, means I'm present, I'm with you, such that.
Sisters? Yep, can you pass the mic a little bit?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
You mentioned that in verse 21, the verse refers to mankind, human beings, and it asks them to worship Allah. So they'd probably be worshipping God in many different ways. Can you elaborate on, you know, what is classified as worship?
Yeah, you know, when he says Ya ayyuhan nas u'budu rabbakum, it's talking about, first of all, something that everyone knows, Alladhi khalaqakum, the creator. So it rules out all the idols, because no one believes that idols have created them. They believe that idols help them. You know, the first man who brought an idol into Kaaba was Amr ibn Luhay, the king of Khuzar. And he was actually deceived into it in this way. Because after Ismail, the descendants of Ismail, the people who were living in Mecca, they were all monotheists, and they're worshiping the God of Abraham. And this happened about 300-400 years before the Prophet, this Amr ibn Luhay. He went to Syria for treatment. He was ill, and of course, in Arabia, there weren't good doctors. Syria was under the Roman Empire, and of course, a very advanced civilization. Just like now people come to Europe for treatment, they used to go to Syria for treatment. Now, he went to Syria for treatment, and there he was very much amazed by civilization, buildings, pillars, and all these things. And then he saw they were worshiping idols. And he said, why do you worship these idols? What are these? They said that they help us. You see, they didn't say they have created us. They help us when we are ill, when we want to go to war, or when there's this famine and such thing. And then he said, well, maybe these people have progressed because of these idols, isn't it? Because, of course, there was a better civilization, something like that. So he said, I want to take one idol with me to Mecca. And he was the king of Mecca at that time, had actually captured Mecca from Jurhum. And he brought Hubal and placed it in Kaaba. And that was the first idol which was brought and placed in Kaaba. Now, those people and all other idolaters, they did not believe that these idols have created them. They just believe that they help them. They are in charge of certain things. God has given them certain power and delegated to them powers. And therefore, the verse is very cleverly addresses something which everyone knows is impossible to be delegated to anyone but to the God, the Creator. So, Alladhi khalaqakum. And then, of course, he says, He is Rabbukum, not these idols. The idols are not your Rabb, Arbab. He is your Rabb, the one who provides for you. Now, how to worship him, then that is the whole purpose of religions. You see, before religion, we have to believe that we have to create a bond of relationship between us and our Creator. But religions come and tell us how to worship, who to worship, and the frequency of worship and all these things. And in fact, the verse is an invitation to religion. Religion doesn't come to tell us that there is God. This is something we have to decide before religion, okay? Religion come to tell us that how to behave before that God. And this is what is in fact, inviting people to religion.
Thank you. Any brothers? Yeah, several.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Sheikh, you're talking about deaf, dumb, and blind. And in many ways, it's not a spectrum. There's no one extreme. We're somewhere in the middle. I mean, you've been lecturing here for 10 years plus, and many of us have been here, and yet we're not awliya Allah. So
you're not what?
Awliya Allah. And so in many ways, we're deaf. I mean, some of this should have affected us. It hasn't. And you know, the
well,
Quran
if
says...
Well, if it hasn't, it means that all these sessions are in vain, isn't it?
So what can we do to reduce our deafness and dumbness and blindness?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure many people here are, but I'm talking about myself.
Don't underestimate yourself. And
the Prophet says, when you get the remembrance of Allah, you should tremble. Does that really happen to everyone, to us? So what should we do to reduce this deafness and dumbness and blindness?
It's worship. You see, dhikrullah, that is the only remedy. And the more we tend to worship, the more we tend to remember, the more we tend to fear in that sense of taqwa, then the more our eyes would open, the more our ears would open. And that's why the whole purpose is this worship, establishing relationship with God. So the superficialities are not very important. They are important when you, of course, have that background. But if you don't have that background of enlightenment, then superficial acts would not help very much. And they are going to help us even in the hereafter in a superficial way, not in a deep way. So the deeper, is it the way God has created this world is that the, whatever more you try and exert effort, the more you gain. It's just like a gold mine, you see. God has given you this gold mine, that's your soul. The more you excavate, the more you gain. The less you excavate, the less you gain. That's the whole, the summary of everything, actually.
Okay. Any sisters? Yeah, can you pass the mic?
Yeah, brother touched on we. When you say it's the majestic power of Allah addressing. But at times, so leading on to that, sometimes Allah addresses you as the second person or the third person. Is it second person when he's angry with us? And is it the third person when he wants to pass the message? So you and they, he uses quite interchangeably in the Quran.
Well, we have to follow this case by case. This is something, this is a technique, actually, a literary device in Arabic, which is called iltifat, that you move from one pronoun to another pronoun, from address to someone who's absent or things like that. And we have to see case by case why Allah has used this iltifat, using sometimes you, sometimes them. Sometimes, for example, he says inna alladhina kafaru sawa'un alayhim, or sometimes is ulaika alladhina kafaru bi rabbihim, and sometimes addresses the kuffar directly. That's yawma yajma'ukum li yawm al-jam, dhalika yawm al-taghabun. Then when you come to us, you are all losers, and things like this. It's case by case, and it's a very effective technique to measure the how actually the speaker is judging the audience, or is estimating the audience.
Yeah. Zuhair?
Alaykum as-salam.
This is not really a question for this, but it was the last session. There are two, three things in my mind, and I obviously get the opportunity to ask one question, so if it's okay. It is connected in some way, but you mentioned Allahu yastahzi'u bihim wa yamudduhum fi tughyanihim ya'mahun. And you said amaha is the not blindness. The physical blindness, it's the spiritual blindness, whereas a'ma is being physically blind. But I don't know if I misunderstood you. You said that in Qiyamah, the disbelievers and the munafiqun will be blind, a'ma, which is actually physically blind, rather than spiritually blind. Is that correct? Because spiritually they'll be able to see exactly what everybody else is seeing. They'll see the reality of things there. But they will physically be blind because they say, Lima hashartani a'ma, when I was able to see in the real world. But I got the feeling you were suggesting that no, they'll spiritually be blind as well.
Well, this was قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَغَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتِ فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. It seems that they feel there are things there that everyone can see and they cannot see. That is the meaning of it. Otherwise, you know, we cannot say that they are physically blind because they see each other, they know each other, recognize each other. يُبَصَّرُونَهُمْ. We show them to each other. We cannot say that they are physically blind. But that spiritual blindness there feels like physical blindness here. It's as such. It feels like physical blindness here. There are many things that they see other people are aware of and they are not aware of. And that's why they say that. Now, this Amaha and Amaya, of course, the exes have mentioned that. But sometimes, of course, Ama is used interchangeably with Amaha and is more general, so to speak. And therefore, وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِي أَعْمَى, I would not say that, it would not be nice to say that وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِي أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى, something like this, you see. فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى. As I said, this is general. It could be used for physical and spiritual, but أَمَهَا is mainly used for spiritual blindness. I cannot think of any verse which really allude to physical blindness of kuffar in akhirah. They are not physically blind. They can see each other. كُلَّمَا دَخَلَتْ أُمَّةٌ لَعَنَتْ أُخْتَهَا. When they see people come to hell, they see them, they curse them, and all these things. So they are blind in the sense that they feel others are seeing things that they cannot see, and that's like a physical blindness.
Sorry, just to carry on, because when we look at Amaha in the Quran, wherever it's mentioned, it is related to this world. Mm-hmm. All the verses that if you look in the Mu'jam al-Mafaris, it is referring to this world, never to the hereafter. Also, we tend to say that the realities will be apparent to everybody. They will see the reality in the next world, and they are blinded in this world. So is it that there are still some realities that they still can't see, or is it that, no, actually, they will see exactly what everybody else is seeing, and there the a'ma is, if you're not satisfied with physical, then maybe some other form of blindness rather than spiritual blindness.
No, I don't think they exactly see everything that other people see. First of all, things which are perceptible there are not mainly physical things. They are mostly spiritual things that people would perceive. Because it's a spiritual world, and especially in Barzakh, which is a spiritual world, the perception is more spiritual rather than physical. And then they cannot see those spiritual things, although they are realities, they are real realities. The only thing is they see are the apparent things. For example, in Surah Qalam we have, وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ, the day when things get hard, or the day, depending how we translate this, the day when everything is revealed, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ, وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ, they are called to prostrate, وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ, they cannot do it. Why cannot they do it? Because they don't see certain things which call people to this prostration. وَقَدْ كَانُوا يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ وَهُمْ سَالِمُونَ. And the verse which says, قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا, why have you raised me blind while I was seeing? قَالَ كَذَلِكَ, this is the same thing that you had in the previous world. أَتَتْكَ آيَاتِ فَنَسِيتَ, my signs came, you abandoned them, you didn't see them actually. وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى, it is the same thing. That again, you see signs there, but you cannot see the realities behind them. Apparently, this is the meaning.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any sisters? No. Nizar?
Sheikh, just very quickly, the worship element, God consciousness has to be linked with worship. Has that got to be demonstrated? Or is it very personal to individuals? So I could be sitting here and talking to you, but at the same time worshipping.
So you don't listen to me?
Well, I think I'm good at multitasking.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean.
So I'm particularly thinking about the Ya Yuhannas.
Yeah.
So whereas worship may be stipulated in the Quran, how to, but for the Ya Yuhannas, worship can be very broad, part of your commerce.
As I said, this is an invitation to religion. You know, religion tells us how to worship. How could a person realize how they should worship God? How should I worship? Okay, God tells me, worship me. How should I worship him? What is the meaning of worship? Now, then the religion explains and expounds on that. Okay, you have to remember him with certain words. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. I mean, even remembering him, how can we remember something that we have no idea at all about him? Okay, so they tell us certain things to do, which is worship, is the dhikr of Allah. Then certain rituals. لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ لِكُلٍ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شَرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. For every religion, for every nation of you, I have set a certain rituals that you follow. So these rituals are very important. If we want to get out of this bound of religion and say that, okay, we have a sort of personal worship, we have improvised a personal worship, we have in many traditions and also in verses of the Quran which allude to that, God does not accept that worship. Worship should be something that you have to learn it from someone who knows how to establish relationship with God. If you want to have it as a personal, then on the day of judgment, you are part of no nation, actually. No Christian nation, Muslim nation, and any prophet. You cannot say, I am following one prophet. يَوْمَ نَدْءُ كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. Everyone is called with their imam, their leader. If you have no leader there to guide you towards paradise. And we know these leaders are very important in the sense that they are aware of these twists and turns of a spiritual world and such thing. And therefore, if we want to say that, okay, I just worship in my own individual way, then I don't know what happens, really. I don't know what happens.
So we know of examples. Well, we don't know, really. But we have seen steadfast individuals belonging to a particular religion overtly worshipping, praying, and yet his or her everyday lifestyle, behavior makes you think. And on the other side, you know of individuals in your everyday walk of life who may not be Muslims, but you know that they appreciate, for example, the nature. You know that they give charity. Why? Because they believe that other human beings are the creation of the same God that they believe. I call that worship. I call flying and admiring the nature from the plane window worship. I can't think of other examples, but really that's sometimes I see that demonstration of worship much more solid.
The point is, if these things are done in remembrance of God, you know, a human being can, I mean, a human being is a fascinating sort of creation and has many aspects. But if these things that you mention are done in remembrance of God, that's the essence of worship, isn't it? But if, yeah, I fly and I enjoy nature in a selfish way, you see, that it's nothing to do with God, okay? It's just enjoying myself. Now, you see, we can say, there is someone who's deaf but can see very sharply. Okay, someone who's blind but can hear very sharply. I mean, which one is better? Well, the best is someone who's seeing and hearing sharply, both of them. Now, one aspect of religion which has been misused during the whole history, and Allah condemns it in the Quran, is to be superficial about worship. That you just do certain rituals and that's all. And in your life, it doesn't show that you are God aware. You have God awareness. So that is condemned, certainly. But to be God aware, not worshiping him in a proper way as well, is condemned too. So we have to have both of them together rather than just saying, okay, this is better than that one, or that's better than this one. No, having both together is the best.
Thank you very much indeed. Sheikh, we have to finish here. Our time is over. Thank you, Muhammad Wali, Muhammad Salwat.